When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Just a quick note before we get started with today's episode. This podcast is supported by the amazing team at TRX. Their suspension trainers are designed for pros and built for everybody to use wherever you are. I see these in high-end gyms and the homes of trainers, coaches, and fitness enthusiasts like me all over the world. The TRX app contains more than 1,000 videos to train you at your level and improve you every day. TRX is the world's most versatile, affordable, and effective gym, and we're happy and proud that they're sponsoring the Quality of Life podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Quality of Life podcast, hosted by me, Raham Harreg, the youngest Arab and the first Saudi woman to climb Everest and the Seven Summits. And today, we're meeting Ali. Ali is a Canadian living in Dubai. She's a yoga teacher, mobility master trainer, registered dietitian, personal trainer, Pilates teacher, and Adidas athlete. She specializes in pre- and postnatal yoga. Ali, thank you so much. Can I say Ali? Because like that's what I heard everybody calling you.
Yeah, I go by Ali.
Ali, thank you so much for being part of my podcast. To keep with traditions, let's go with the most simple question, because the podcast is called Quality of Life Podcast. I would love to know, what's your take on that? What do you mean? What does it mean to you to have quality of life?
I mean, well, first of all, I love the name, and I'm not just saying that because the reason is because it can mean so many different things to everyone, depending on where they are. I believe your quality of life and the meaning of that also changes as you change and grow throughout your life cycle. So I think it's a very cool one because it's, you know, dynamic and it can mean something to you at different stages. For me at the moment, I think, you know, my priorities, what I'm seeing is, I don't want to say I'm slowing down because that's not the case by any means, but in terms of, they've changed. Like I have a big priority for me, quality of life is mental health and social relationships. And I'm seeing such a change in my friendships, in my, you know, in the closest friends and my family and everything grow along the way. So I think that is taking over a lot of my quality of life right now is just the importance of mental health and personal situations that happen. We'll discuss later with my father and where I've gone after his mental illness. So I've been kind of changing along the way. I would say in my 20s, it would have been all health. I would have been like getting to the gym, this, that was my priority. But there's so many other aspects to it. Your environment, you know, I have two little ones. So just what I bring home to my kids is so much more important. I truly believe in, you know, the people, the friendships and the, you know, your family, everything, these positive thoughts you surround yourself with, you bring that home. So I'd say those are my priorities, just, you know, my environment, being blessed, obviously I'm currently in Dubai and being blessed with, beautiful friendships, and also really diverse ones with people all over the world. And then obviously that mental health is a big deal, based on my family situation, what's happened in the past.
You mentioned your family a lot, and I'm sure they're a big part of who shaped you to be the Ali you are today. But can you please share with us, who's someone who has inspired you? Who's a person who has inspired you along your journey?
Yeah, well, I mean, the obvious answer is who you grew up with in your house, because that is your environment. So yeah, both of my parents, my mom, my dad, I have a brother and a sister. So at no point did I feel like I was ever in competition with my siblings. It was more like we grow together and we realize what your strengths are, because we were all so different. So we realize what your strengths are and we kind of led that person to, or supported that sibling or, you know, family member to do their thing and be who they are. So that was massive. And then obviously now having two kids, not to say that I didn't respect or love my mom before them, but I understand what she's kind of gone through now having two. And it's this whole nother level. When you think back to memories, you're like, oh, she did that for me to learn this or to instill that in me. She's just gone on this pedestal for me. She's up there now. And yeah, so you realize, oh, she actually, at the time when you're a teenager, you're like, not listening. Yeah. Why are you saying this? And you're like, oh, actually she shaped me quite a lot.
It's so eye-opening to finally live the person you were looking up to. So now you are a mom and you know now why your mom did what she did. It's like it sheds a completely different life to, you know, and that's one of the beauties of life. You live and then you become different. You go through different stages and it teaches you different things. It also ties in with how the quality of life changes from time to time. I think it depends on what hat you're wearing on at the time. Were you career driven? Are you freshly in a relationship? Are you married? Are you a mom? Are you a grandma? I think that affects what quality of life means. But I think in essence, it's the same. I think it's balance.
Too, along the way, even talking with like family as well, but talking about friends, I've noticed when you look back, like how that a friend you might've had might have served you at that time in your life. And then you grow into new friendships that, so, you know, maybe I would befriend a bit more of people who would have children now because I'm in that boat in my life. Or, I mean, another example is I've befriended some runners because the last 2 years I tried to make the challenge I did run 2 marathons. So actually 3 marathons.
I find like, wow.
But it's like you gain and those people, right? They have to understand you because you need to sleep. You're waking up at 4 a.m. So you're not maybe the party or friends that you might have or that social access, they're put aside for this 6 months when you're training and they're still part of your friendship and there's no hard feelings, but they're not, I don't want to say serving you, but they're not
as involved.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same with it. I think it's the same for me with my college and school friends. I'm still friends with them. They're still my girls, but we're completely in such different, you know, paths in life that we cross when we make an effort to cross. We don't cross because we have similar things anymore. What tied us together was we were going to the same college, and then now we are a completely different path. So we make a plan to meet, but it's still special. They're just not the people that you see day in, day out because they're not the people that do the same activity and live the same kind of lifestyle or rhythm as you.
That's it. You said it, the rhythm. It's the rhythm. And you go through the waves of life.
I think where the magic is in friendship, if I may, it's being able to be completely different in completely different pages in life, to completely different stages in life, and still having that chemistry and that love and respect that you pick up the phone or you meet them after months or even years and you're like, you're back in your student desk next to each other. You know what I mean? I think that's the magic. I think that's what makes friendships stand the test of time. One of my greatest friendships is my best friend from college. And we plan our meetings. Like we plan per month for us to meet. And it's usually lunch in the IFC because that's where we cross. And then when she has events and I have special events, that also. But we don't see each other in activities because she's in fashion and I'm in sports. But again, it doesn't matter if you love each other. Sorry, we went completely out of the line, but I
love
that.
No, that's all right.
I love
that. It's part of it. It's part of the shaping. It's part of the shape. Your friends shape you. I see it now with who my daughter hangs out with, who I hang out with. They shape you. They motivate you. You see something, you do it. You try it. You say, what's up with that? So it's great.
What's that saying? Tell me who your friends are. I tell you who you are, something like that. I botched it completely, but it's something like that.
So, something along those lines.
It's much better than that, but that's the essence. Speaking of things that shape you, what is a book books are the ones that I like because I can write them down, but what's something, a book or a podcast or a series or something that you would love our listeners to read or experience that has inspired you or shaped you in a way?
Listen, I love, just to give a bit of background. So my father had Alzheimer's disease for about 10 years.
My dad started Alzheimer's now.
I started a whole support group here because it was a bit it's not really here. And in Canada, I was noticing in US and other parts of the world, it is. So I started one here. So I'll give you that link after because I have it monthly.
We just started the journey.
Oh yeah. It was over a decade. And so I'm keen on learning about the mind and how my thought process can change. So there's a book called Thinking Fast and Slow. So it talks about, this is a great book. Like it just talks about, you know, why we think sometimes the way we do and what influences the thought process. So I love that. I also just finished Limitless. And again, this is about like upgrading your brain and how to, again, all because of my situation with dad, but just how to learn how to use your brain more effectively in the world we're at. So like, it's so weird. You can't, the other day it was like, someone asked me like, what is, you know, your husband's mobile number? And I'm like, let me check my phone. Like, but you can tell me what was your childhood? What was your number when you were a kid of your neighbor? And I'll be like, boom, I got it. Here you go. So it's, again, it's reframing. It's things like, you know, using your GPS, like just learn the streets and the names. So I read a lot about that. So the last one I read was Limitless, which I loved, and how to like, get the most out of your brain and just strategies about, hey, take a pause, you know, write this down, try journaling, different like tactics to help you use your brain more in this world that we're in. That's kind of doing the opposite.
Technology, you know, has made us a bit, I don't want to say dumber, but I mean, less adapted, less sharp. Is that the polite way? Less sharp in our use of our brains. It's become, you know, I remember when I was growing up, even in our generation, I used to memorize every single home number of my girlfriends.
Yes,
every single one
it.
in my head. I can't remember, you know, my Skyward sometimes. It's like, I'm like, eh? I open my phone. So I love that we have technology, but I hate that it's kind of making us a bit not sharp. I'm trying to be politically correct, not sharp in how we use our brains. But at the same time, I think you should put an effort in, you know, at least, like you said, trying to, you know, I need to read that book. Someone has suggested it to me as well.
Oh, it's great. Like there's little tactics that you can do along the way just to help you get back to that. Yeah. To that sharpness, really remembering people's names, this kind of stuff, but it's beyond that.
Like, I have a trick for names.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Because I never forget faces, and sometimes I have problems with names. I like actors. I remember actors' names and directors' names, and that's kind of my thing. So some people like, for example, football players, whatever. Use a person you like. For example, your name is Allison. So I put in my mind someone who's an actor who's also Ali, and I pair that person with you in my brain.
Oh, okay, yeah, association.
It's so good. Yeah. It helps me a lot. And some people use football players, some people use songs. For me, I put an actor or an actress when it's a difficult name. And it has really, especially in my work with, you know, media and stuff, it has really saved me a lot. The worst is you say it, if a girl's name is, you know, Charlotte, you can say Charlie. Like a small mistake, then people will laugh it off. But for you to go blank sometimes when you're in, you know, it's a bit awkward.
I think it's like this awareness of knowing what technology, what it's doing. I mean, of course, it's bringing a lot of positive things. So one of the things that I've done is I'm like, I need to take two courses a year, whether it's like, there's so many online courses. Like right now I'm in a pelvic floor one because I do most pre and postnatal, but there's ones I saw from Stanford on leadership, and like they're 3 months and they're, you know what I mean? Like whatever you can do, it's like, you just have to be aware and then try to get that back. Whatever works for you. Do you know what I mean?
Whatever interests you, because if you're not interested, you're going to get bored. Speaking of interested, mashallah, when I was reading your intro, Ali, you have lots of hats, mashallah. Like you, I was like, she's this, mashallah, tabarakallah. Like you're very well, you know, very rounded, in a very beautiful way. So I would love to know, what's your day-to-day like with two teeny boppers? What's your day-to-day like? Can you share with us what's, you know,
day-to-day is it's very scheduled, routine-based, and it's got a little bit of hope. like, let's hope it goes to schedule. So there's a bit of both.
A little bit of inshallah.
That's it, right? So listen, one thing I know in my yoga world is like one of the things that I've learned along the way is having expectations are a beautiful thing, but they also can be when things don't go to plan. You know, you can naturally get disappointed and feel frustrated. So I think with kids, 90% of the time, things don't go to plan. You know, even this storm that we've just had, right? Like things I was supposed to work. I haven't worked at the studio or anything. I haven't seen any of my clients. I haven't done a lot of this. I was supposed to film for my YouTube, whatever. Things haven't gone to plan. So everything is scheduled. Basically, I wake up super early. I gym every morning at around 5 a.m. because I have to be back to have breakfast with the kids. That's really important mealtime. For them. And then I take them to school. I work basically until 3 o'clock when I pick them up. And then I spend usually the afternoon with them. And then two nights a week, I work evenings. So yeah, the morning time is my time to work. And again, if they're sick, I'm kind of out of that and rescheduling and everything, so on and so on. And then I have, it's quite a good balance. I'm very blessed. Then I get to spend that time with them. You know, it's really important that when they're in swimming lessons, they look up and see me. I want them to be, I'm their fan. I'm like, let's do this, guys. Because I remember that from my days. Like, that's all you want to see is that your parents are there. If you can. Again, some are working full time. And so I'm quite blessed in that sense. So I put a priority and scheduled that in. That does sometimes mean late nights because I can't be as on the computer. I outsource a lot. So like, I don't enjoy editing my YouTube videos. This is not for me to sit in front of a computer. So I outsource when I need help. I'm the first to be like, I need help. Help me to save time. So that's it.
Ali, you missed something super important. When do you eat? What do you eat? You didn't mention food. Okay. Ali, I know you're a super mom, but I know you eat. So I would love to know.
No, I eat a lot. So actually, I eat, this is a bit weird. I eat mostly around my menstrual cycle.
Really?
So the types of food I eat and how much I eat are around my menstrual cycle. It's all around that.
It changes style or
it changes composition. And actually quantity.
Really?
So when I am first day of my cycle, so on the first day where you're bleeding, I actually usually do longer fasts, believe it or not, and high protein.
You have to think of it, I'm the same. In the beginning, I crave protein and I eat less. I eat bigger portions less, like I eat more.
It naturally happens and people are coming out with these recommendations, but it's actually naturally. So it's actually shown that it's
crazy.
That it will help you, but women normally do it. And then obviously when we're PMSing, we want, I call them smart carbs. I eat more carbs. Now in saying this, when I was doing marathon training, which I'm not right now, I finished mine in July, but I would obviously during that time strategize around carbs. So it's strategized around menstrual cycle and around my activity. Really important. And I'm sad to say that women don't prioritize this. They have no idea that eating around their menstrual cycle and even training types around their menstrual cycle can affect how they feel. And if we just focus a little bit more on that. I mean, this could be a whole podcast in itself.
Absolutely. I think it's fascinating because
We could feel so much better rather than pushing weights when we're PMSing. We should actually be eating more and be okay with that. We won't gain weight and do more things like walking, yoga to manage the hormones.
Interesting.
It makes sense. Like
I have a very weird thing where right before I start, I can go the whole month not eating a single thing that's chocolatey or sweet. I'm not a sweet tooth. And then right before, I need like a nice big spoon of chocolate. It's so strange.
It's normal.
And then I'm done.
Yeah.
And then I'll have like a one spoon and then I'm done. I'm done for the month. It's so strange. I don't want it the whole month. And then I just want one hit of chocolate.
Yeah. But that's why I'm just like, feel what you feel, do everything, like be aware of your portions. And when you need those little hits, take them, because otherwise you go crazy.
I allow myself that because I don't, yeah. I'm not gluttonous on chocolate, thankfully, but I allow that. So speaking of chocolate, well, in my case, yes. It's hazelnut and pistachio. In my case, I like hazelnut or pistachio. I don't like dark chocolate. What is your guilty pleasure meal or cheat sheet?
It's actually quite healthy. I marinate pineapple in honey and cinnamon, and I grill it on the barbecue.
Oh, so like a Brazilian or Portuguese,
pineapple is like, oh man. So that's the healthy one. Like when I'm really trying to otherwise, if I'm going to have a cheat meal, for sure, it's going to be, and I never feel guilty about what I need, because I believe you eat it for a reason.
But so, let's say guilty with like air quotes.
I would say either a pizza or burger, like for sure. I'm a cheese, has to be cheesy and carby. And then obviously burger I could eat.
Super important question. Thin or thick crust? Because this is very, very important.
Oh, I'm easy, man. As long as there's cheese.
You're like thin or thick cheese.
I think if I could get more cheese, I would do thin. I don't know.
Yeah, I love. Cheese. I don't like thick pizza. I'm very peculiar with my pizza. I like thin, crispy, thin, and cheesy pizzas. That's kind of my favorite. Now I really want some pizza. we all have different approaches to wellness. In my case, and I'm sure you're similar. In my case, it's having an outlet for sports for me, for energy. Some people it's yoga. I'm sure you as well. It's yoga. But what's your approach to wellness? What would you say is your mentality towards wellness?
Listen, I think in general, for me, it really depends on what your goals are. Again, going back to like me around the cycle or me around a race. So if I'm prepping for the marathon, then everything would be, how do I not get injured? Because this is high intensity training, really. So how do I train my ankles and my knees to stay mobile for me to achieve this goal? Blah, blah, blah. So now my goal is to do one major race a year. I keep my cardio up with running. I've started to actually love it, which I never thought I would. But I also primarily focus.
I'm happy for you, because I think running is so, I admire runners so much because I can't do it. Like if I need to run to say, if I need to run to save my life, I'm just going to stand there and say the shahada. I'm going to be like, because I tried so much to run. I can play volleyball the whole day. I can do 10 sets easy. I can't run for 10 minutes.
Yeah. But this is what I mean. Like you got to do what you love and train and work and be well in quotes for what you love. So what would you do for your volleyball? Like what exactly would you do? You'd train different, maybe mobility moves. You'd be doing different drills.
Yeah, it's more sprints. But so I interrupted sprints, you were saying how you started running as part of your wellness. So I want to know that. I just jumped in because I really think runners are cool.
Oh, bless. Well, listen, I started running because of what was going on with my father. It was one of the ways to get through the, like, just be a little bit clear-headed, because I think I was struggling so much in the aspect of, you know, living with the family and obviously going through what my family unit looks like now with someone suffering from Alzheimer's disease. So that's where I started, and friends were there to support me, and it came easy. But I must say, like, I didn't love it. My first marathon, I did not love it at all. Even the last one I did in Dubai, it didn't go well, but my second one went really well. And I was like, what is everyone talking about, this runner's high? Like, this is not, what am I missing here? Like, I don't get it. And then I got the high in Paris and I was like, oh, it's actually magnificent. But putting this aside, I have always been huge on muscle mass and strength training. And the reason is, I mean, I'm 38 now, or I'm turning 38 in a few months. And I have had the blessing to work with clients going through menopause. And I've seen such a difference from though observing from that of the training that I give, observing from those who just start weights. I don't want to say it too late, but later on in life versus ones who have started to build muscle mass earlier, and the difference between their symptoms, you know, how they manage it. It's massive. And it's primarily because they've made themselves more muscle. So I must admit, like, I love running, but I don't encourage it, you know, to the extent that, you know, you overdo it and you don't maintain your muscle mass. There's this balance. So I really and truly I really preach that you need to be as much muscle as you can to prep yourself for the later state of life. Because,
oh God, I also preach the same. I always say, pick a sport, pick one sport and fall in love with it the rest of your life. Try, and then you're going to do it in different levels and different intensities in different stages of your life. So you won't be able to compete in national level in this sport, for example. Don't be lazy in trying to find that, because I think your body, you program your body your whole life. Like you consistently program your body. If you have good sleep cycle, then you'll have good. If you have good, you know, good eating habits, then you have. So I think people become so lazy in this, and it's one of the reasons why you have so many problems later in your life. So I think really, it's like a car. If you continue to tune it, then it will have a longer life. Your body is the same. You need to constantly try to tune it and constantly try to. I mean, like, for example, volleyball, because I play volleyball. I think I'll play volleyball at this level for this year and next year, and then I'm done. And then I'm also 86, and I'm slightly older than you, because I already turned 38. So I, but I will always play volleyball. Like, I will always want to play volleyball. And if you don't have that love of the game, you're not going to get up and play it when you're 70 or 60 or whatever. You won't play intensity and you won't be like, you know, hitting and spiking. But if you love the game, then it will keep you active.
Well, what you were saying about in general, like the training yourself for that. And it's so funny. People will say, and I'm sure they say it to you, like, oh, wow, you're so motivating. You're blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, well, let's reframe that, because this is longevity, the commitment.
Best investment you can ever make.
To your sleep, and don't get me wrong, like, I'll still go out and this and that, but it's like the commitment overall to your sleep, to your health, to your future. This is a part of life. I'm not trying to be sure. You might see that as motivating that I wake up. I don't literally have any other time. So it's what works into my schedule. Maybe when the kids are older and I don't rush back and whatever it might be, but of course, but this is something you need to commit to. And it's funny. I always get that. And I'm always like a little bit taken aback. I'm like, no, this is life for me now. Life means that I put in the time 4 times a week or 3 times a week to get my muscle mass in. And the rest of the time I'm either walking or doing things that I love, dance, this, like, everyone has their own thing. It's a life. It's not, I don't think you should take that for granted, you know?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I think any mom is a super mom, but mashallah, in your case, because you have so many, you know, achievements. But I would love to know what's something that you're proud of the most. What's that thing on your mantle that you're proud of the most?
Oh, man. I mean, obviously, I always go back to the kiddos because I think, I think becoming a mom is something that I am, you know, it was a shock. And I actually haven't talked. Well, I just, no one really tells you the truth.
Oh, don't say that, Ali. I don't have kids yet.
But I wish that more people were real about it. So if you ever have a real podcast, I'm like, I just wish people prepped me a little bit more. So I actually, with my first one with Thea, I had postpartum because it was such a shock and my life changed so much. My body changed so much and you don't want to sound egotistical, but when you're used to looking a certain way, I've always been athletic. I have the genetic, my dad was a beanpole. Like I'm quite genetically, I want to say blessed in that point.
Ali is being very, very humble, but I can say, cause I can pop, I'm gonna pop for my girl. She's part of the same brand that I'm part of. And whenever I see, Ali's picture, I'm like, that's goals for me after I have kids, mashallah, girl, like amazing, really. You have an incredible figure.
Own it. But it is also too, like,
incredible.
People don't speak, it's also your genetics too, but
of course, but it's a genetics. But if we want to go with social norms, we're 38, so bravo being able to hold on to it.
Yeah, I get that. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So I think my biggest achievement is recovering from postpartum and the changes, and even because I have two for those. So I've got a daughter and a son. So my daughter came first. I didn't own that pregnancy. I was self-conscious. I didn't actually take a lot of, I was just like, wow, this is a lot more different than I thought I would feel. And I guess, when you're familiar with something and something happens, the second round with my son, I was like, you know what? I know what's going to happen now. To my body, to my fitness goals, to everything. I owned it. I felt, this was the first time I can honestly say I felt so attractive and sexy and fun. And it was like, I owned my bump. Whereas in my first one, I swear to you, I like tried to hide what I was becoming and there's no reason to do that. So I'm proud about learning the process of what's going to change. And I'm proud that I now teach women and coach women, how to train safely before, during, and after, and what they can, that's what I do mostly now. So whether they're running, whether they're, most of them are lifting in the gym, I train them to prep for what's to come. And I'm real about it. When they ask me, I don't tell them, I don't sugarcoat and be like 9 months in, 9 months out. Like these things like don't apply to so many of the women that I coach. It's just about let's get stronger and let's reframe yourself to not be the same person you were, but to be better. And that's, I actually, people ask me this, I'm actually leaner than I was before babies. Now, do I have other dysfunctions? Yes. And I always talk about them. I'm really big on pelvic floor. And this had to do with not knowing how to be fair, to push the babies out again. And I've educated myself so much on this. And I work with a couple pelvic floor physios now that I work and send all of my clients to.
This is so interesting. I don't have kids yet. And I find this so interesting.
Oh, well, let me tell you, there's little things you can do that will save your future.
When I get there one day, I'll call you.
Please.
Everybody has challenges, but I think more so athletic mommies. So what do you think is the biggest challenge you face? What do you think is the biggest challenge in your story, in your journey?
First of all, it was the postpartum, because first with my daughter, I think it was a shock, hormones, everything. But I just was like, wait a second, I teach meditation, positive thoughts. I'm a yoga teacher. Like, how is this happening to me? Like, what's going on? You know, I was just so, and so I think I told you at the beginning, I'm the first to know, I'm the first to be like, I need help. So got therapy. I still believe that everyone needs therapy all the time, whether you think everything's okay. It's just like your mental health check-in. So I'm big on that and I'm open about that. But what I was saying before is I wish someone told me that there are ways, like coached me through the health of my pelvic floor. So as a fitness instructor, you only ever are told like to brace and to squeeze everything.
I've never heard the health of your pelvic floor. I've never heard that.
Oh no. Like, well, again, no one talks about like how, you know, usually if you're an athletic female in any way, shape or form, it's guaranteed, I would say 99% in my experience, that you have an overactive pelvic floor. So the way to describe it is like, if you flex your bicep, would you walk around all day like this? And that's what downstairs is happening. Like your pelvic floor, it's tight the whole time and you don't even realize it. So therefore, when you go to give birth, for those who get, it's difficult. It's like a door that has been like this and it will not open. So that would be my biggest challenge is now dealing with the health of someone. Everyone looks at me and they're like, wow, she's done so well. And yeah, that's on the outside. But I'm also still recovering from those births because no one educated me on, hey, you were over tight. You should work on
Bravo for bringing it up and for educating yourself and being a beacon for many people, I'm sure, for many women, I'm sure, who needed help in this. So bravo for you. And again, I find this so fascinating because I love learning new things. But what's something that you look forward to as Ali? What's something you're looking forward to in the future?
Oh, so right now I'm launching a bar training. So I will be now like certifying other bar teachers and Pilates teacher on basically how to teach a beautiful class that helps with the pelvic floor as well. So they'll be able to jump online, do my course. It's going to be great. So it's a lot of videos and I'm going to be taking over the YouTube world in the pelvic floor area because I believe so strongly that I can prevent what happened to me just by sharing it, being real about it and being like, guys, you need to know this before you go forward. So I'm educating teachers to basically know and how to train other women too. So important to spread, like that's all I could do is spread this experience, you know?
What would you say before? Look, there's so much I want to learn from you, but we're running out of time. What's the best advice you can give? What's something you would like to share with our listeners?
Oh man, I think in all aspects of life, one of the people, and I like, you know, one of the things I always say in my classes, I don't even realize it, and I use it in all aspects of my life, is I always say, like, don't stop. That's where the magic happens. And everyone makes fun of me. They're like, whatever, Ali. I'm like, no, no, like when you don't think you could run that extra mile, or when you don't think you can recover from postpartum, when you don't think you can be better than you were or stronger than you were or recover from something, an experience like even my father going through Alzheimer's, when you think you're broken, the magic is literally around the corner. If you just allow people to help you and allow yourself to help, like just be vulnerable. It's okay. Be strong and let everyone help you. That is why we're here. And I think this is one of the, thank you for having me on your podcast, because it's one of the blessings to know. We just like, you lift, you're trying to lift people up through knowledge, through other experiences. And that's what it's about. So wait for the magic.
I love it. And I always appreciate when a guest teaches me something. So you really taught me something new today. You turned me on to an aspect of my body that I never knew needed, you know, taking care of. And it's so lovely of you to be a champion for this. So thank you so much for your beautiful quest.
Namaste.
And also thank you for being a hero and champion for our pelvic floors that we need more attention, because I think it's like, it carries you. You need it. It's so important. And it's something that is overlooked. And I never imagined this part of the body I never thought of this part of the body as having its own need of love and care. I just thought it was a tool and a function and then that's it. But no, it's something that has a long-term use and a long-term effect on you. So from the bottom of my heart, Ali, thank you so much.
Oh,
and I'm sure
you.
All the listeners, thank you for being the hero of our pelvic floors.
Thank you.
Thanks for being part of the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to the Quality of Life podcast, hosted by me, Raham Harrak, and produced by Pineapple Audio Production. Please do follow us and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And keep listening every Friday morning and Tuesdays for our mini bonus episodes.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.